We are on page 49, I believe, right? Yeah. Let me just scroll up here. 49, paragraph 2, and the paragraph starts with the words, "They listened." And for those of you listening on the stream, if you want, I'll get the PDF for you here. If you want to read along, this is from the Sketches from the Life of Paul. Put it in the room here first. Ignore that forward slash. I hit the wrong key. And then I'll put this in the stream for anybody that wants to read along, and those of you listening on WTPR. Boy, the URL is just huge, so I'm not going to read all that. But yeah, page 49, Sketches from the Life of Paul, and we're doing this because many of us, myself included, have never read this book yet. And so we kind of want to see. My wife read it about a year ago, and she says, "Nick, you got to read this. And please share it with the church family." I says, "All right." All right, so anyway, it says, "They listened on one Sabbath day with intense interest to the teachings of Paul and Barnabas." Okay, now let me stop here for a minute. I can stop there because there was a comma. Sunday keepers. How they missed this point is beyond me, but if the apostles had changed the Sabbath, like if the Lord had changed the Sabbath to Sunday when Jesus resurrected, then Paul and Barnabas would be well known as Sunday keepers, and every Jew on the planet would have made some big stink about it, saying, "You changed the law of God," and it'd be all over the New Testament. Don't you think? Seriously, how do they miss that? I mean, look at the way the Jews got in their face left. I mean, look at Acts chapter 5, where Paul, I think it was Peter, said, "We ought to obey God rather than men," when they told him to shut up, "You're putting this man's blood upon us." Excuse me, but isn't that what you declared that you wanted to have happen when they asked you whether you wanted Barabbas or Jesus to be released when Pilate was asking you? "Oh no, let his blood be upon us and our children. Let's kill this man." And now they're mad that they're putting the blood on them. And so, my point again is, if Paul and Barnabas are going around preaching in these Sabbath-keeping synagogues, I mean, wouldn't that be a little bit difficult and vexing for Paul and Barnabas if the Sabbath truly was Sunday? "Oh man, we got to go and break the Sabbath again. We got to go on in a church and preach on a Saturday and make them all think that we're, you know, Sabbath." No. The apostles weren't about deception. Everybody else on the planet, you know, in regards to preaching this falderal via Rome, are about deception. Not everybody on the planet. Well, every man's a liar. We know what the Bible says about that. So anyway, you know, it says the teachings. So they with intense interest, they heard about that Sabbath, and because it says who preached Jesus as the promised Messiah, and upon the next Sabbath day, because of the multitude of Gentiles who assembled also to hear them, they were excited to a frenzy of indignation. The words of the apostles were distorted in their minds, and they were unfitted to weigh the evidence presented by them. When they learned that the Messiah preached by the apostles was to be the light, or a light to the Gentiles as well as the glory of his people Israel, they were beside themselves with rage and used the most insulting language to the apostles. Now think about that. This goes beyond racism, because that's really the core here. It's just literal racism. At least that's what they call it today, since the 40s and 50s, I think it started with the racist thing, whatever. They literally thought how they can even, because you ain't going to get a Bible verse to back this up. The Jews thought they were eternally chosen, perpetual, chosen in perpetuality, or perpetuality? Yeah, perpetuality. They literally thought they were perpetual saints. I mean, like they would never lose their, like the Baptists with their once saved, always saved. And when they heard that the Gentiles, you know, those dogs and those lowlifes that are outside the Jewish lineage or the bloodlines, it goes beyond, that's beyond racism, you know. So it goes on, "The Gentiles, on the other hand, rejoiced exceedingly that Christ recognized them as the children of God, and with grateful hearts they listened to the word preached." Oh, I just long for the day, I got to tell you. You know, but the day is coming soon that we know when that latter rain falls and the Lord gives us the utterance to where the words we speak are designed to perfectly cut the hearts of the ears that are listening, because he knows exactly what will move them to hear it. And so praise his name. Why are we so light in the chat room? Is there a tech issue here going on? We got, you know, the norm in the stream, and the radio is pretty good. Yeah, the radio is doing okay. I don't know. Maybe it's that, you know, it's it could be that West Coast thing again. Yeah, because the sun doesn't go down for, you know, quite a while, West Coast. But yeah, every summer it gets light on Friday nights. That's okay. So the apostles now clearly discerned their duty and the work which God would have them do. They turned without hesitation to the Gentiles, preaching Christ to them, and leaving the Jews to their bigotry, blindness of mind, and hardness of heart. Yeah, that's the word they used to use, bigots. And they changed it to racists. But I wonder if he's going to go into Acts, or she's going to go into Acts chapter 10 here in regards to that one prophetic event. I think it's, or it could be Acts 14. At least I could dig this verse up for you, because it's coming to mind here. I think it's just plain, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Maybe I should take lo out, because I could have... There it is. Acts 13:46 says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said to the Jews, obviously, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Why? Well, because Jesus told them, dig around the tree, you know, the fig tree for 3.5 years. And Daniel, the prophet, already said it was going to go down for 7. That's the week of Daniel. That's what the Jesuits use and put at the end of the world, call it 7-year trib. Totally unbiblical. But that pulled the onus off the Pope, making him think that all these disasters and the great tribulation happens in the future. In other words, you know what the Pope did? By mistake during the Inquisition. Oh, that wasn't the great tribulation. No, that wasn't prophecy. Jesus wouldn't talk about that. But in fact, he was. Jesus Christ would not miss a prophecy wherein 500 million of his followers were tortured and killed. It's unbelievable the way they killed. Bloodthirsty. But that's because the strength of Christ, the peace of Christ. Yeah, a lot of the people that were tortured and killed, it really didn't bother them that much. You know, I mean, they may have felt a little bit of the pain, but I mean, look at Huss singing while the band's on fire. And so, yeah, the Lord knows how to bless his own. But anyway, Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But now that the 7 years are done, Stephen's been stoned, right? I mean, Paul's here. And Paul wasn't no Christian when Stephen was stoned, so it's been a while. He finishes by saying, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And so that made the Gentiles happy, and of course it upset the Jews. Now, that didn't mean the Jews were guaranteed damnation. They can accept Christ just like anybody else. But so far, not so good. Anyway, the mind of Paul, it goes on. Mind of Paul had been well prepared to make... Wait, what did I leave off? I didn't leave off there. Yeah, I left off at bigotry. So let me backtrack. They turned without hesitation to the Gentiles, preaching Christ to them, and leaving the Jews to their bigotry, blindness of mind, and hardness of heart. The mind of Paul had been well prepared to make this decision by the circumstances attending his conversion. His vision in the temple at Jerusalem, his appointment by God to preach to the Gentiles, and the success which had already crowned his efforts among them. When Paul and Barnabas turned from the Jews who derided them, they addressed them boldly. Oh, okay, she does touch on it. And they boldly saying, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Oh, see, that's how I did. When I put in low, we turned to the Gentiles, I didn't put the comma in. That's why it came up bad. So I just took out low and I found it. And so, low, we turned to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that they that they should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Amen and amen. So this gathering, she says, of the Gentiles to the church of God, had been traced by the pen of inspiration, but had been faintly understood. You know, kind of like the way all the churches faintly understand the 7-year, like the week of Daniel. It had been traced by the pen of prophetic inspiration too, as well as, because I got a page on the website like, who is Israel? And at the end of the, I did a video on that too, as you know, But at the end of the page, about a year or two ago, I put in a new section called, because left and right, left. Every time I got an email about that page or the video, they were saying, oh, you know, what was it? Replacement theology is a bold-faced lie and all this other stuff. And I says, well, look, there's Old Testament prophecies declaring it to be legit or prophesied. There's New Testament statements of Jesus Christ and the apostles that confirm the prophecies have been fulfilled. And I had to always keep doing these little studies over and over and over again because I, you know, they would come so sporadically, I always forgot to do like a little study and put it off to the side like I used to do with the Catholics and the SDAs. You know, because they're always going to ask the same question 10 times in 10 different ways just to, you know, slow you down. Kind of like Sam Ballett tossing stones to prevent you from doing what you should be doing. And so I decided, okay, I'm just going to do a study, and it's on the Israel page at the bottom of the page about replacement theology. Because it was prophesied. It is legit. It is true. It has been fulfilled. I mean, what Paul just said here in Acts, you know, about, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. In other words, you've been replaced. They're now calling the Christians Israel. In other words. So going on, she says, Hosea had said, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. So, and that's one of the verses that I use in my replacement theology page. It was prophesied they would be replaced. You know, in other words, those that weren't my people, you know, Gentiles, you're going to be my people. And again, it says, I will sow unto her. Yeah, I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that hath not obtained mercy, and I will say unto them which are not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. Again, that's another verse I use. But yeah, replacement theology, absolute prophetic fact, it has happened. So during the life of Christ on earth, he has sought to lead the Jews out of their exclusiveness. Yeah, because that's what they always taught. And Rome took advantage of that, by the way. That's why it was so easy to do what they did in 321 AD under Constantine. And what I mean is, Constantine, pagan, of course, claiming to convert to Christianity, which was Catholicism because the Bishop of Rome was already active. He, you know, they pulled in the thing with the Sunday laws and got everybody to embrace the Sunday Sabbath at that time, but I kind of lost my train of thought there. Shouldn't have gone off track. But, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Thank you, Lord. They were saying this was what worked, and it's still echoed to this day. How many of you have heard this in the news, like when they talk about this, but they do it in a nice way? They don't say it mean. Or the Catholics do it all the time, especially towards SDAs or us. You guys are keeping the Jewish Sabbath, is what they say. That started in 321 AD. Literally. They had to start saying that because in 321 AD, the real Christians, for nearly three whole centuries, short of 21 days, or 21 years, was, or no, it was 27 years, because Jesus showed up in 27 AD. And so, no, there would be 6 years. Sorry, my math is like, you know. So anyway, they were keeping the seventh-day Sabbath, the Christians, all the way up to 321 A.D., overwhelmingly proven. The Vatican lied when they say the Sabbath was chained to sin. And like I said a minute ago, or a few minutes ago, when, you know, when Paul's out there preaching in synagogues, don't you think he'd be a little vexed if he was already a Sunday keeper? And if he was a Sunday keeper, wouldn't all the Sabbath-keeping Jews get say, oh boy, here's our ticket, this is our ace up the sleeve. Look, they really did change the law of God, and we've got concrete proof. Boy, they would have had a field day with that. It'd be in every single Talmud from that day forward. Nope. Nary a jot or tittle has ever been mentioned by a Jew to this day that the apostles were involved in a different Sabbath. Not one jot or one tittle. Not one. You're not going to find it. And so that's why the Vatican put out that book, Rome's Challenge to Protestants, to try to get them to say, oh, you guys are really Catholics and you don't even know it. You've been keeping our invented Sabbath for quite a while, 321 A.D., in fact. March 7th, 321 A.D. Yeah, it's no mistake that the 501c3 was made permanent law, or not permanent law, was made into an executive order March 7th, 2006. And then Trump turned it into permanent law December 2nd, 2017. I never looked into December 2nd yet to see if there's any kind of paganistic thing, but I know that June 26th has stuff in it, but I forget what it was. Because the United Nations started on June 26th, 1948. The United Nations, United Religions Initiative started on June 26th, 2000. They signed the papers for these initiatives in the exact same hotel room, but decades apart, obviously. And then homosexual marriage, what was that, 2006? No. Or 16? No, it couldn't have been. That's Trump's time. But, you know, when Obama made homosexual marriage legal. 2015. Thanks, Sister Denise. So, yeah, 2015, June 26th. Because, you know, they like to... There's something about... It's just like with Halloween and all these other strange dates, you know, like Christmas. You know, Jesus was never born in winter. It was in the fall, actually. The Romans would never have a taxation in winter. It'd be too hard to travel. People would literally die just to pay their taxes or be counted in a census. You know, because that's when the taxation started, when he was born, when Jesus was born. And so, but yeah, but no one reads their history books. No one does any Bible study. You know, they just believe the, you know, preacher-tainers or wolves, as the prophecies call them. You know, apostate leaders. So anyway, going on, it says, during the life of Christ on earth, he had sought to lead the Jews out of their exclusiveness. The conversion of the centurion and of the Syrophoenician woman were instances of his direct work outside of the acknowledged people of Israel. Remember the Samaritan woman too? Yeah, the woman at the well. She goes on, the time had now come for active and continued work among the Gentiles, of whom whole communities receive the gospel gladly and glorify God for the light of an intelligent faith. Now, some people might think, oh, it's old-fashioned, you know, come on, it's 2020, you know. Trust me, there are people out there still that clamor after truth, clamor after wanting to please the Lord. They're in all these different churches, and they're coming out. I just got a beautiful testimony from someone, some lady, a Christian woman yesterday. Very heart-wrenching one, too, in regards to what she went through and how the truth that we share brought her to her knees. And, oh, man, and she gave me permission to share it on Testimony Sabbath. So you're going to hear it 2 weeks. And she posted it on my video, I think I did the stream the other night about the Sunday Laws thing. It's in there. So, but I'm going to share that. I mean, it was, you know, it's just... You know, that's what I said like a few moments ago. Oh, I long for the day when the latter rain falls, and it falls more abundantly. You're going to be going out there. We're going to see tens of thousands of people coming into the truth. And just because there's often times I like to drift off to sleep, thinking that, you know, I'm about to land outside of a small little village. I'm going to land about a mile outside of the village. I'm going to walk in. I'm going to share Christ for 6 days, and then when it's time to keep Sabbath in New Jerusalem, boom, I'm back home. You know, as an ambassador for Christ in New Jerusalem for all eternity, because that's what we're going to be doing. I mean, Paul talks about the worlds. Sister White talks about them. She saw Enoch training a vine on another world, for, you know, for fact. For, you know, but praise the Lord. And but yeah, I like to drift off to sleep thinking about that sometimes. Of just, you know, I get to walk into a village and kids come running out, or you know, butterflies are landing on you, birds are swimming. Are floating above you, and not because you got smacked in the head, you know, in the cartoons with the birds flying around. But, oh, man, I long for today. I just go out there and just talk to them about him and what he's done and the peace and the love. It's just, oh, it's off the charts. It's amazing. So going on, it says, the unbelief and malice of the Jews did not turn aside the purpose of God, for a new Israel was grafted into the old olive tree. So there you have it, a new Israel. She just said it. So the synagogues were closed against the apostles, but private homes, you know, houses were thrown open for their use. Now, let me stop there. If you look at the book of Acts, you'll see we're meeting in this house or this person's house or that person's house. Because people keep asking me, where do you guys meet? You know, because, you know, we hear that you're in every nation on earth. Yeah, the Pope. Now, this is assuming... Oops, sorry, knocked over my water bottle. I'm assuming that the Pope got the thumbs up or the signature to the parchment, if you will, from China. And the reason I say that is because after those conversations that the Pope had with China about 9 months ago, This is when you see this corona stuff. As a matter of fact, I wish somebody would do this, because I ain't got time to do this. Because we could prove every single solitary disaster, main, you know, global kind of a thing, or war, rather, have all been started by the Jesuits of Rome. I wish someone would do the research or find a website that's already done it that shows the Pope meets with some of these military leaders or political leaders, if you will, and they all have their own military, right? And within 6 months to a year, war breaks out or some kind of economic change happens or some constitutional situations go down or some major changes in society. You know, like Venezuela, remember that? When he started testing the waters on socialism? Yeah. Yeah, they had a little meeting with the Pope, I'm sure. But yeah, the thing with the, you know, like with the COVID thing, a lot of people don't realize that 3 years ago, the Pope had a meeting with every CEO on the planet. I got the pictures. I put it in about two or three videos already. And every single solitary political leader. They would take these pictures, like all these, you know, self-glorified, pride-filled, you know, sorry souls, and with the Pope standing in front of them with a white robe on, like he's, you know, heaven sent. And they always take those pictures to show power, too, on top of everything else. And they do it in the Vatican. They got those big meeting halls. And so he's already gave them the, you know, the down low in regards to how they're going to push this mark forward. But they've got to make sure that everything's going to work perfectly before they come up and start using their ace up the sleeve, which is climate change and sunny laws. Same thing, Satan's been doing that for eons, you know. That's why he did commandment number 1, 2, 3 with Daniel, Meshach, Abednego, you know, and those guys, and Esther. He was using commandment number 1, 2, 3 because he wasn't going to use commandment number 4. That's his ace up his sleeve in the last days, because that's the commandment that shows who you worship, who your God is. And he knew that, and so he's going to use that in our day. But still, some people don't think that Sunday laws is the mark of the, or Sunday Sabbath is the mark of the beast. Even though the Catholic Church said twice, literally, in writing, that Sunday is their mark of authority. Now, granted, I have probably over 1,000 quotes from the Vatican saying, oh, maybe 500 quotes. They're all over my website. There is a page called Words of the Beast where I got quite a few in there. But where they literally talk about Sunday being their Sabbath, and like in that book, Rome's Challenge to Protestants, they keep saying, huh, you know, how come you guys go to church on Sunday and call yourselves Protestants? Protest is over, guys. You're keeping our Sabbath. We wrote it. And they literally say in the book, you can go from Genesis to Revelation, you're not going to find a single Bible verse to back it up. And so that's why they called it a Jewish Sabbath in 321 AD. You know, because they had to get them to hate, you know, because they already had gotten the Jews hated. You know, so now if you say it, you're keeping a Jewish Sabbath, well, then it's a little easier to schmooze the people off that path. But the fact of the matter is, right there in the New Jerusalem, before mankind was even created, it's right there in the Book of Psalms, angels kept the seventh-day Sabbath. Adam and Eve kept the seventh-day Sabbath. Abraham kept the seventh-day Sabbath before a Jew was ever even born. It's not a Jewish Sabbath. It's God's Sabbath. It's the Christian Sabbath. It's the Sabbath that acknowledges the Creator that made all you're looking at. But they got to get you to forget that, because Satan knows he can't get our Lord off that seat. He can't get him off the mercy seat. Why? Why would he want him off? Well, because what's under the lid? Ten Commandments. Law of the land. That's why it's called a mercy seat. You break those laws, the Lord's got will grant you mercy if you accept his Son who died for those that break those laws. So again, private houses were thrown open for their use, and public buildings of the Gentiles were also used in which to preach the Word of God. And this is why I always say, the Church of Christ started in the homes, it's going to end in the homes. And for those that want to jump start reality check on that to make sure that that's a prophetic event that will happen, ask anyone that's living in China or any other Middle Eastern country that claims Christ Lord. All right? Now the Catholics all meet in these big old, you know, pagan-looking buildings, and they wonder, why are the Muslims knocking our statues down and shooting and killing our people? Well, because you're out there saying, hi, you know. The Muslims, the main reason they hate Christians is because of what went down in the Crusades, when the Vatican killed tens of millions of the Muslims, and you know, because they reneged on their promise. You know, when Rome had... I can't remember exactly. It's in that that thing that Jesuit Ribera, the ex-Jesuit, put out, and they murdered him for it because he let the cat out of the bag that the Vatican wrote the Quran and set everything up with that fake god Allah, and that fake prophet Muhammad. And then they had all these wars planned, and everything was supposed to go down, and so that when the wars were over, they were supposed to exact payment by grabbing Israel. The Muslims wanted that land, and the Vatican said no. And then they had the Crusades going, and not because you guys reneged, man. We were supposed to. You know, this was part of the agreement. But that's how Rome works. If you go to my Daniel 11 defined page, and the only reason I wrote that up too is because a lot of people are saying the king of the north was Turkey. That page shows how Rome came to power and how they continued to grow. They would make friends and use them. You ever heard of the term chew them up and spit them out? That's how Rome gained power. They would make friends and they would chew them up and then spit them out. You can actually see essence of that with the Medes and the Persians. That's why, you know, the animal's on an angle, because one was stronger than the other. And so that's, you know, so they would use the people for as long as they possibly could. And if they didn't, if there was a benefit in keeping them in, they would merge with those people. But if there was no benefit, yeah, they'd just blow them away, kill them off, get rid of them. So whatever benefited Rome is how it would all go down. And Satan was behind the whole thing. Pagan Rome then became papal Rome, and you know the rest is history. So, and again, the synagogues were closed against the apostles, but private houses were thrown open for their use. The public buildings of the Gentiles were also used in which the priests were to God. And then it says the Jews, however, were not satisfied with closing their synagogues against the apostles, but desired to banish them from that region. To effect this purpose, they sought to prejudice certain devout and honorable women who had great influence with the government, and also men of influence. This they accomplished by subtle arts and false reports. Sound familiar? Yeah, it's called fake news today. So these persons of good repute complained to the authorities against the apostles. In other words, they lied. You know, just like they did at our Lord's trial. The trial was totally illegal to begin with. But that didn't matter. Satan had already had a foothold on the Jews, and so committing another sin to them was no biggie. They had... You know, their ends justified the means, you know, and that's what they were going for. So these persons of good repute, supposedly, complained to the authorities against the apostles, and they were accordingly expelled from that district. And again, doesn't that sound familiar? For those of you that are ex-Seventh-day Adventist, have you walked up to your pastor or any of the leaders in the church and tried to share them your concerns as to the apostasy you were seeing? Yeah, some of you have, and some of you have even sent me some of the emails you sent them. And you all saw the exact same thing happen after that. Now think about this. If it was legitimate that what you were talking about was wrong and you were in sin for doing so, Matthew 18 applies. The pastor should have sent one person to you to try to convert you back to the truth. If that failed, then two or three witnesses are to go to and try to get you to convert back to the truth. And if that failed, then they bring you before the entire church family, and then if still you refuse to convert back to the truth, then you are kicked out of the church and treated like a, you know, like a publican, a heathen and a publican, or a pagan and a publican, pagan and a tax collector, because that's what a publican is. And so but they can't do that. When somebody comes up to them with the truth in the Seventh-day Adventist church, the leaders aren't going to do Matthew 18 because of verse 18. Oh wait, no, verses Matthew 18 verses, so was it 16 to 17? Anyway, because of the last step, you know, there's three steps, because they don't want you standing in front of the church family and saying, this is my concerns, and then they're supposed to rebuke it, but they can't. I mean, look what Doug Batchelor just tried to do with the 501c3 when we started the service. He literally has to twist the Bible verses. Now think about that. If that's all they got, that's concrete evidence that we are on the right track here, and they know it, because they can't rebuke us. That's why they hate us. They can't refute the truth. It's not that what we're going for, old Yahoo, Mountain Dew, I want to be hated. No, that's not what we're about. We want them to embrace the truth. We want a bigger family in heaven. But that kind of love is not understood unless the Holy Spirit dwelleth within. So anyway, continuing, let's see how much further we got to go on this. Oh, we're almost done. We got a new chapter coming for next week called Preaching Among the Heathen. And boy, do we need to hear that. Because that's where we're headed, brothers and sisters, especially when they kick us off blind. We're going to be going door to door if we have to. And yeah, it's no mistake, you got the social distancing and the masks and all this other stuff to try to prevent people from going out with a loud cry. But you think that's going to stop the prophecy? It's not going to stop it anymore, and Trump couldn't change the 501c, or couldn't get rid of the 501c3. Our God's is an awesome God. He's a great God. He's the great God of the Bible. You know, there's no way they can change what he's already written. So going on, it says, and on this occasion the apostles followed the instruction of Christ. Whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust from under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And the apostles, now think about that, because it does say that some people are going to be like a vapor at the hellfire, and some people are going to burn up a little longer. And of course Satan's going to smolder for quite a while. And I think Sister White goes into the detail in regards to how when he's smoldering, even if it's the smallest little ember that's left, it's still where he can feel the entire thing, because that is such a disgusting thing that he's done for the last 6,000 years, caused so many people to gain damnation just from telling lies. And a third of heaven, he literally got angels, eternal beings, to be destroyed. Yeah, so he's going to burn a little longer. So anyway, she finishes all by saying, this chapter, by saying the apostles were not discouraged by this expulsion. They remembered the words of their master. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall all manner of evil against you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And so, like, you know, we've been seeing and saying for years, they do this to us. We've had people like the trolls that come in, and I'm surprised we didn't get a thumbs down tonight, but it might show up later, but that's okay. Oh, and there's someone else that's doing this. They're putting in porn links to my streams. But check this out. They're not putting them in to where they go public. They're putting them in and then deleting them. So guess what happens? The porn link comes to me and me only, because I'm the one that gets the alert with the bell. You know, like when you look at your bell and says, oh, you got 7 messages or 700 messages, whatever. So it comes to me. I didn't know what the link was the first time. I never click them again. You know, and so it's not so much a link as, it's a link. And I'm wondering if it's a Catholic or an SDA. Amen, Sister Tracy, it's sick. And they'll put it in there 2 or 3 times with every video. This is how much they love to attack us, to try to do something like that. Now I report it, but it makes no sense to report them, because what they do is they just delete their account. See, YouTube is set up like a joke, just like all those other chat rooms that we had before in the years ago, where you can't really stop these people that troll, you know, because like the one guy that likes to troll us on a regular basis, he admitted to me in one of the comments in one of the 600 videos, or pretty near 600. Well, I know it's 600, but they deleted a lot of my videos. But he says, yeah, I've got over 1,000 YouTube accounts. And so I'm just going to keep hitting. He literally admits, he says, yeah, well, the angel with the ink horn saw you say it, and I hope you repent. And I hope, see, what he usually does, he comes in and just puts it there. He doesn't listen. He's not going to sit through this whole service. And so me saying anything, you know, about him, other than to let's pray for him, is he's not going to hear it. And so hopefully that he will turn around, because I have seen people that have attacked on a regular basis, and it always goes bad for them, obviously. But a few of them have actually come back asking for forgiveness and have been blessed and part of our number now. I'm not going to say who they are, because I don't care about their past, just like Christ doesn't. Doesn't matter. Come as you are. You know, and so we got to treat them like brothers and sisters. If they accept our Lord and Savior, hey, they're family now, period. And so keep those people in your prayer. You don't know, because just like many bright lights are going to go out before the eastern sky splits, a lot of people that you would not in the least bit expect are going to be up there in heaven with us. And so with that, if you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. You can tell it's humid. My chair makes a lot of noises when I get out of it. So please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very much for blessing us with your presence again. Thank you for keeping us safe as we continue to do this work for you. And Father, in the days ahead, all of us, myself included, we need more courage, wisdom, discernment, faith, meekness, love, gentleness, peace, all of it, Father. We want that latter rain. And we all trip and fall a lot, but thank you so much for your mercy. That's where your Son shines, Father, in the forgiveness. You don't hold this stuff against us because of what you said in 1 John 1:9. And so thank you for blessing us and helping us, as weak and disgusting as we are, oh wretched men and women as we are, who will save us from this body of death? And we know it's your Son, our Savior, our King, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen and amen.